It is good to be here back in Wilson, and I mean most beautiful facilities in the world. God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's house.
Brother Colbert, good to see you, my friend. And what a joy and honor. And I love your pastor and his family, and appreciate his friendship, and have been so kind, and I appreciate the opportunity my sons have to come and sing and be a part of this ministry as well, and his quartet, and what a blessing. Yeah, pray for us. Matter of fact, he texted me and said, hey, my youth pastor said you're kind of on the list there to preach to the kids. Are you coming to tonight? Oh, yeah. I just swinging by Wilson to get the Pigeon Forge. It's all right. Amen. It's what we do. So sounds like you're giving him a rough time. My people give me a rough time as well. So I'm going to blame you when I go back home and say, hey, y'all think I'm bad. You should hear what Pastor Shakur does. And so let me tell you, just be thankful you're not there. But anyway, but it is a joy and an honor and a thrill to be. I've been looking forward to this. And I've heard Dr. Ouellet preach many times and have enjoyed it. Never had the opportunity to share the platform with him, so I'm honored to do so. And Mark chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, I'm just going to get in and get out of the way. Mark chapter 5. And again, what an honor. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And I appreciate his friendship. And I'm thankful for the testimony this church has in this area for the souls of men and women and reaching people with the gospel. Standing strong on the Word of God, and that's needed. It is needed. And I want to say thank you to that choir. Oh, my soul. And please forgive me for videoing, but I said I hadn't heard that one before. And so our choir will be doing that one soon. Amen. I like it. And I like it when a choir gets happy. Oh, I can't stand. Well, I mean, people do what they're going to do, I reckon. But I like it when the wave gets started in the choir. Everybody good? Like, man, when books just start getting laid down, it's like, yes, now we're getting somewhere right there. Amen. And I like it. And praise the Lord. You ought to enjoy church. Amen. If this were your last service, what do you get out of it? This were our last chance to meet with God. And in Mark chapter 5, I think you'll find a story here of just amazement. Every time I read it, verse 1, they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, our Heavenly Father, I sure do love you. And God, I want to say thank you. And your mercy, your goodness, your kindness, your grace, your chastisement, your love. Nobody can do what you can do. And I want to say thank you for already meeting with us tonight. And Lord, I pray that I will not do anything to hinder or hurt this great work or anything this pastor and his family and their labor of love. I pray that I'll only add to it. The Holy Spirit of God, would you guide me? Help me not to say anything that would dishonor you. And Lord, I just want to stay focused. Please forgive me of all my failures. Oh, Lord, I need your touch. Bless Jenny and the kids, and as I look forward to seeing them in the morning, I pray that you bless them tonight. Help us, Lord. If there's one tonight that's not saved, I know it's the middle of the week, but maybe someone came by and thought, what's going on in there? Lord, if there is one that's not saved, whether a longtime member or first-time guest, I pray that tonight they'll trust you. And any of us that need whatever you want us to change or add, help us to do just that. I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. In Mark chapter 4 and chapter 5, you find unbelievable stories. These are two chapters that you really find a powerful master. In Mark chapter 4, you find where the disciples, because we started in verse 1, as they came out of the ship. And so, you know the story. They were in the ship with the Savior. And it's a phenomenal read. And they were there, and the storm came. These men none of them were a novice to the sea. They knew the water. They had been on that many times. That's their region. That's their area. But for some reason, they still got a little scared. And I'd have been right with them. I've never been in the Navy, but I know that water's supposed to be outside the boat, not inside the boat. Amen. And when the water got in and it got out of their control, I think it was Peter myself, because Peter was the one that's always jumping out of his climate. You never worried about Peter. As a pastor, there's many times I'm preaching away and I'm like, what's wrong with them? And you're like, what's wrong with them? And then I got to remember, don't be dismayed at their faces. Well, that's easier said than done. What's wrong with them? And what's wrong? You know, a pastor trying to preach and think, that's difficult to do. Just try doing one thing. Peter, if he were a member, you would never have to worry about what he thought. You may not like what he thinks, but you never worry about it. You would know. He's either sitting on the front row, waving his scroll in the air, getting a picture chiseled out with the pastor after the service. He's shouting it out, or he's outside protesting the church. Peter, don't you go there. Never heard of it, never seen it, never been there. I don't even know that pastor. That's my twin brother. I mean, that's Peter. Peter was the one, I believe, when the water got in the boat and they're about to sink, they think they're about to die. He's the one that grabbed the Savior, I believe, and he's the one that shook him because he said, don't you care that we perish? And may I say, many times we can even be in a place that we're already comfortable with, but it can get full. And although you may be that manager, that pastor, or whatever it is, this is what I do, and I'm in charge of this, and I run this, and I know what I'm doing, there's still many times that the water's going to get in, and you're thinking, well, how did water get in? I thought I had everything worked out. I thought my kids were doing all right. I thought my business was okay. I thought my marriage was very strong. I thought the church was doing okay. What happened? Why is there water in the boat? But may I say, when you and I do get nervous and when you and I do get scared, we spend an entire year of an entire world saying, what do we do? What's the answer? Where do we go? Where do we turn? Who do we trust? Who do we listen to? Can I say, go find the Master, because he's right where you left him. And I'm so glad I have a God that can lay his head on a pillow when there's water everywhere. And he can snore like none other. So a lot of great places to sleep. I help my members get a lot of rest every time I say, turn to your Bibles, please. Amen. I've joked with my wife that, you know, the best place to sleep is a barber chair. Hey, nothing like it. I go sit down. I say, hey, Jack. He says, hey, preacher, how are you doing? Good. And I'm gone. It's the best nap in the world. He goes to shaving, I go to sleeping. I mean, he could carve John 3:16 in the back of my head. I'd never know it. I would get him back, but I would never know it. And my wife, every year, she gets something unique for our anniversary. We just celebrate our 28th anniversary. On our 25th anniversary, because I'm a huge fan of Judge Judy, I'm going to get her come preach in my church. I'm going to tell you, amen. I don't even know what she's saying, but I'll tell you what, she can clean house, bless God, amen. And I tell her all the time, she got me on our 25th anniversary an autographed picture from Judge Judy. I said, dear pastor, congratulations, happy anniversary, Judge Judy. I'm the only man whose wife gets him a picture, an autographed picture of another woman for their anniversary. So this year for our anniversary, we were taking the family down to Florida for a couple weeks for vacation, just getting away. And the last day when we got back was our actual date for our anniversary. And she made up some excuse for me to go by the church. And so I had to go in my office. I'm like, I don't want to go all the way. That we just got back. She said, but I really need them. I go, yes, ma'am. And Dad always taught me just trust and obey. So I went and drove down to the church. I walked in my office. In my office was a barber chair. She said, you always said this is the best place to take naps. Enjoy your naps. I was like, it's the best gift ever. It's behind my desk. I called my barber. I said, you have to make house calls now. I got the chair. You got to bring everything else. Aren't you glad? It has nothing to do with the Bible, but you're going to learn a lot tonight, all right? Doctor will not bring the Bible in a moment. I'm going to have fun. But aren't you glad that you have a God that can sleep when everybody else is scared?
And throughout these two chapters, we don't have time to get into all of it, but you find for the first time that he deals with nature as far as a miracle. And that's when he stepped up, when the men were saying, "Don't you care?" He never even answered them at the beginning. He ignored them. And if you parents have ever been so upset with your kids, you couldn't speak because you're afraid what might come out. And the Savior didn't even speak to them. He just gets up and he looks at the sea and he said, "Peace, be still." And it went from a great storm to a great calm. It didn't roll away. It didn't wave away. It stopped. And those men stopped and said, "What manner of man is this?" They knew Jesus, but they didn't know that Jesus. And so they saw him deal with the sea. They saw him deal with the sick woman. They saw him deal with Jairus' daughter, who he said was sleeping. But here in this text, we're dealing with Satan. This demon-possessed man meets the Savior. This storm is rolling inside of this man, and this man is just being tore up night and day. And now the disciples getting off the boat, water dripping everywhere, thinking, "Man, what a ride." As soon as they get off the ship, this crazy, there's no really way to explain him, this rude, nude dude with an attitude, come running to Jesus. And when he saw him afar off, I'm going to give you some simple thoughts as we walk through the text. Number one, notice the dwelling of the possessed. There's the dwelling of the possessed. We find that the demons in this man had total control of him. No one around him, the Bible said, could hold him. Nobody could help him. And unfortunately, it seems to me that this society just accepted it. That's who he is. We've got people. Durham is a unique town. I love Durham, North Carolina. I wouldn't live anywhere else. God put me there and I love every bit of it. But we've got the craziest people in the world in Durham, North Carolina. I lived outside of Chicagoland for 7 years and enjoyed every bit of that ministry. But I've seen more people that beg in Durham than in Chicago. And Chicago's a big place. But there's not a stop sign or red light you don't pull up and there's somebody there. It's a great place to give out gospel tracts and say, "Come on down to the church and work and I'll feed you." And I've been there 8 years. Nobody's come down to church yet and work. But I feed a lot of women and children. But it's so sad because I think they just accepted it. Can you imagine having someone in town here that you wouldn't know when you'd see them? But you'd come home from the grocery store. "Hey, honey, saw him again. Where was he at?" "He's running through Walmart parking lot. Hey, I drove by the tombs and I could hear him crying out." And all the kids looked out and said, "There he is again. There he goes." They almost just accepted him. And the dwelling of this possessed man, notice it was an unclean dwelling. In verse number 2, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs." We're not talking about, in our day where cemeteries are very well kept and they keep them so nice and beautiful. And I know the pastors here have done many, unfortunately, of graveside services and just did one a couple weeks ago for one of the greatest men I've ever known in my life. And it was tough to say goodbye to him, but I'll see him again tomorrow because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So it'll just be tomorrow and we'll be together again. But to do a graveside and I'm happy to help a family, but it's not really what you want to do. But we're not talking about some place that looks nice. And the Bible says night and day. He's running around the tombs in this unclean dwelling in these caves where they would put the bodies. And can I tell you that life and death are at the total opposites? That's why we ought to be very careful what our young people are getting into. And the world pulls them in with their entertainment. The world pulls them in with styles of music that will teach them certain things that are opposite of John 10:10, where Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And unfortunately, he is dwelling where things have died. It was an unclean dwelling. It was an unnatural dwelling. Look at verse 3. "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." To dwell means you're staying there. I enjoy going out. I love preaching the Word, and I love trying to help people, encourage people. But I'll tell you what, there's no place like going home. There's nothing like going to the house and laying in your own bed and put your head on your own pillow and going out. Man, there's a great sleep there. How this man could dwell there.
That's unnatural. And that's why we ought to work as hard as we can, church, as diligently as we can, to make sure there is a lighthouse here, that that person that is struggling, that person that is... That's why I love... When you pull by this church, it says, you need help, come on in. I love that. From your signage out front to everything, is just welcoming to say, hey, we got a drink of water for you. Hey, you need anything? Come on in. This is the place where we found the Savior. We've got the right one. Aren't you glad you found the light? Amen. But this was a place where this man dwelled that was unnatural. And then you find that he was untamed. It was an untamed dwelling. Verse 3, and no man could bind him. Evidently, that tells me they tried. Verse 4, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. You know, you don't tame people. You tame animals. This man had gotten to a place where he's acting like an animal. How does that happen? Because without Christ, and God help our nation, we've evicted him out of the homes. We've asked him to leave the courts. We've kicked him out of our schools. And we wonder why our country might be turning the way it's turning. Because we need to get some people of God to say, time out. No, 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 there's a better way. Walk ye in it. Hey, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No, man. And I want to encourage you tonight. This man, they said we tried to tame him. We tried to bind him. We tried to put everything we could. But here he is with wild, superhuman strength. Don't take lightly what the devil can do. However, he doesn't have all power. Yeah, the devil has power. He can manipulate us. He can motivate us. He can aggravate us. But if you're saved, he can't possess you. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? I mean, I hear all extremes. I've heard preachers my whole life. Bless God, I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun. I don't even have to have any water in it. Number one, I'm not charging hell. Number two, if I do, it's not going to be with a squirt gun. Number three, there better be some water in it. Amen. I'm not going after him. I mean, you know, I doubt he knows most of our names. I don't know that a lot of believers do enough to get get the devil's attention, rather. God said, hast thou concerned my servant Job? Yeah, I know Job. The only reason he's doing, you know, anytime I think he might be around, I just start reminding him of other people. Like if we have a good day at church, if my wife shows up, you know what I'm saying? Like Jenny came to church Sunday, I'm like, woo, glory to God. She's not here, I feel like preaching, blood of God. But you know, when we have a good day at church, people getting saved, man, people get baptized, we had a couple join the church, and I'm like, whoa, devil, just in case you're around. You know, Brother Shakur's doing pretty good down there in Wilson. You know, Brother Chapel's doing pretty good out there. Go get him. Amen. I mean, but I don't fear him because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I've got the one that rose from the dead. I've got the one that created all things with his voice. I've got the one that is so big he holds everything in the span of his hand. Yet he's such a great personal God. He come live in my heart. Yeah, that's the God I serve. And this man, unfortunately, was full of the devil. And his dwelling was so rough. Notice number two. Look at the dealing of the person. The dealing of the person. I'm very thankful that I have a Savior that is not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid to deal with anyone that came his way. We see that in these two chapters. I mean, he deals with people that are workers. They're on staff. And yet they think it's over. And he knows how to help them out. He deals with a woman that's so scared. She said, look, I can't even get around you. I'm not even allowed to be here. When they find out I'm here, I'm in trouble. But it's been 12 years. I've spent everything I've got. I'm growing worse. If I can just get him of him. I don't even need him. I just need him. North Carolina knows what I'm talking about. If I can just get him, I'm good. She snuck in. That's our God. He's not afraid to stop the whole bunch of them and say, time out, time out. Because she needs more than physical healing. She needs salvation. And he said, who touched me? And the Bible says he turned to look right at her. She told him everything. He's not afraid to go with a man, to go to their house, say, your daughter's not dead. She's sleeping. Let me help you. And when everybody started to mock, he said, I tell you what you need. You need to get everybody out of here. You need people of faith around you right now. You don't need any words of doubt. And he said, Peter, James, and John, I really believe. Y'all circle that man. Tell him what happened on the boat. Come on, Daddy, let's go. That's our God. And here he is. He's dealing with a man that is full of the devil. Verse number 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, he's full of a legion, and we'll look at that in just a second. But the devils are inside of him, and even the devils know when Jesus is present, you bow. Even the devils know when Jesus is there, you're supposed to show reverence. I would hate to think that a devil would bow to my Savior and I as a believer would not bow. I would hate to think that the devil would give more reverence and respect than I would. And look what the Bible says, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Look at them. They're crying out with a loud voice. You know what would be good? If believers cried out with a loud voice. Amen. I know it's not everybody's personality. And some of y'all think, man, Brother Benny Boy, he leads that choir just right. I could never do that. Or and people sing in a choir. That's the great thing about a choir. You don't have to know how to sing. Just sing. Just move your mouth. I tell our people all the time, you want to join the choir? Jump in the middle. Nobody will know. Just make sure you stop moving your mouth when they do. Or they will know. Amen. That joyful noise. I would not let a devil outshout me. I'm the one going to heaven. I'm the one saved. And I know I don't deserve it. I wouldn't have saved me. I know me. And to think that God would still say, I'll take you. You want to have a good read, go to Ephesians 2 sometime. You start at the beginning. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Sins, we all sin. Trespass, we saw the sign, knew not to do it, and walked right past it. It's bad. By the end of the chapter, 21, 22 verses, by the end of the chapter, he's using us to build a holy temple. He says, I'll take that one, I'll take that one, I'll take that one. And we're sitting there going, you want me? Are you sure? And God says, oh yeah, 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 come here. Come here. I built better. Yeah, come on, come on. I can use you. God's amazing. And here's a man that the devils are crying out, and the devils are even speaking. And the Bible reminds us in Isaiah 6:1 that when the year that Uzziah died, he said, the Lord was high and lifted up. And he said, I saw him there. And as you continue to read in Isaiah, the posts begin to move. You know, the Bible says the rocks will cry out if we don't. I'm not going to let posts outshout me. I'm not going to let rocks outshout me. Well, it's not my personality. I ain't buying it. Mm-mm, especially not North Carolina. When I candidated at my church 8 years ago, I had a stack of questions like that. I told them, just give me those questions. We'll answer from the pulpit. 3/4 of them, Brother Willett, the question was, what shade of blue do you like, Duke or UNC? And I said, you tell me your vote next week, and I'll tell you what shade of blue I like. Amen. I'm a great, blessed God. I know how to be a politician. Amen. I still haven't answered them. But, I'm not buying it. You know what? You get into sports, you've got your excitement. It'll come out. I've got 2 grandkids now. Oh, best thing in the world. You talk about fanatical love. You grandparents know what I'm talking about. Hashtag Papa G right here. And my son and daughter-in-law are with the teens, and they went to Arise. So my grandkids were staying with the family in the church. And I was preaching Sunday night. Well, the family that was keeping, they said, hey, Emmett just turned 2. They said, Emmett woke up from his nap this afternoon. And immediately, as soon as he woke up, he said, Papa, church. And so Miss Melissa said, you've got to go by that nursery and see him. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to go by and see him. Well, I shouldn't have done that. That door opened up. That little boy saw me in them eyes and them crocodile here, Papa. And I thought, this is wrong. Man, I'm holding him. I'm not letting him go. He's crying. I'm crying. It's okay, Emmett. And they said, no, Papa. And I'm thinking, how do I let this kid go? I called my wife. I called my daughter-in-law. I said, you two are in trouble. This is wrong. I mean, I got a granddaughter. She's only one. She can't speak, but I'm already giving her the credit card. Amen. But can I tell you something? I will run you over to get to them grandkids. And more than that, my King is known for mercy. My King is known for grace. I mean, something like starts down there. My King. Oh, yes. That's my King. And I'm telling you, when I know that I'm not going to hell and I know that I'm going to heaven, here's a man that came to meet his Savior. And he's so full. He doesn't know what's going on. They're controlling him night and day. He's being ripped apart. He doesn't know where he's at. He's running through the tombs. He's living in unbelievable circumstances. He's dwelling in places he has no business dwelling. But here it comes. Because the devils even said, are you here to torment us? Because in Matthew, they said, it's not time. You see, they knew who was in charge. The devils know. They know their Bible. And they said, are you here? This legion. Legion means 6,000 strong. And this man just didn't have a situation. This man was struggling with many issues. And this man was torn up from every part of the emotions you can consider. But the devils recognized the power of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. And all the devils, the Bible says, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now they were there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him and saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. The devils know we've got to have his permission. They said, okay, don't torment us. It's not time yet. He said, correct, but soon will be. I'm so glad the devil's going to get it. He's torn up too many homes, too many people. I don't know who this man's father and mother were, but no doubt they would walk by and try to find their son. No doubt they couldn't figure out what was going on. No doubt it tore up their heart, but I'm glad that Jesus showed up. Amen. And the Lord knows how to handle everything. And the Bible says, and they that, let's back up here, Jesus gave them leave and the unclean spirits went out. Entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. Can you imagine seeing that? How would you like to have been walking by that day, minding your own business, and 2,000 swine running your direction? You might get saved a couple times. And they that fed the swine fled. You think? They go back into town. And they're in this Gentile region, and they said, hey, to the owners, good news and bad news. First of all, what are y'all doing here? Well, good news, we know exactly where the swine are, so don't you worry. Bad news is, they're in the sea and they're dead, man. How do you tell that story? Look, that crazy guy, y'all know the crazy guy? Yeah, what'd he do? He met this calm man named Jesus. The two started talking, then devils were talking. All we know is that Jesus gave them permission. The swine are gone. But this man, this person he dealt with, notice his actions changed. In verse number 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. Can I tell you, I thank God for the RU program. And I thank God for the programs in our church as well, where we're trying to help people. And discipleship is so important and get people into the Word of God. Not into our clique and our group and our denomination. No, get into the Word. And the Word of our God shall stand forever. And we get them into God's Word and get them grounded in that. Can I tell you something? We need to get over the fact I still am. No, you're not. He was possessed. He didn't get up and say, I'm so-and-so still possessed. Y'all pray for it. No. That's over. Some of those things we need to leave in the past. Actions have changed. Because look what it said. That was possessed, had the legion sitting. Look how calm he is. Look how his nerves now. Whew. Look how good he is. Just probably the first time he ever sat down without something just going crazy in his body. How calm it was. And I understand there's some that there's a disease. This was not a disease. This was devils. The Bible tells us that clearly. His action changed. His appearance changed. Verse 15. Sitting and clothed. The closer you get to Christ, the more it's going to change you. And church, and I'm not the pastor here. I'm not trying to change anything. I tell our people all the time, I'm not trying to get you to become like pastor. I'm trying to get us all to become like Christ. And as you get into the Word of God, that's where the Lord will change you. That's where the Lord will lead you. And guess what it did to this man? It caused him to sit down. It caused him to change how he looked. And then, may I say, his attitude changed. Because it says he was in his right mind. But then notice this as we close. They were afraid. I don't understand why they were afraid. This man got his first night's rest. This man, for the first time, sat down. This man, for the first time, put some clothes on and he felt good. For the first time, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. For the first time, this man that caused this feeling, and remember when he got saved? Remember when he said, "What's going on?" Had a man a few weeks ago, started preaching him. He's sitting underneath the balcony and a big fellow. His last name was Samson. I mean, it fit him perfectly. And Jason was his first name. And Jason, I'd never seen him before, but him and his girlfriend came to the service that morning, sitting on the balcony. As soon as the preacher started, boy, he moved to the front of the pew. And he just started staring at me. And I thought, I hope I don't owe him money. I'm like, all right, Lord, you said you'd protect me. I'm calling on that because I got a feeling security is nowhere to be found. And so, he's sitting like that. And I started preaching, and it wasn't me, it was God. But the Holy Spirit moved in, started convicting and drawing that man. Invitation. He's the first one. I mean, he's got his hand up while he's walking down the aisle. And I was like, high five, Jason. Amen. He's getting saved, girlfriend getting saved. Hey, there's nothing like it. Can you imagine? And he looked at me and he said, "What's going on?" I said, "That's called God. Welcome to God world." Amen. This man, and the Bible says they were afraid. Can I tell you, the devil's the biggest hypocrite of them all. When Jesus begins to confront them, the devil says, "Don't torment us yet." While 6,000 are tormenting this man night and day. The devil is the one that we do not fight and we give in to. While the Savior's right there and we don't spend any time with Him. But the attitude of this man had changed and the Savior had helped him to go from a slave to a saint. Amen. And now these people are afraid. How sad that we'll play with the sin that will destroy us, yet we do not sit with the Savior that loves us. And notice what he said to the Savior as he leaves the chapter. He desired to be with him. He says in verse number 18, "And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." I can imagine the conversation. I can imagine where he said, "Sir, they don't want me. I have no idea everything I've done. It's been embarrassing, no doubt. This is the first time that I mean, and I don't know if this was days. I don't know if it was the same day. I don't know how long it had happened between those other verses. But he prayed him, please take me with you. Please let me go with you. Because they don't want me here." And look what Jesus did. Man, let me just ask you, when's the last time you prayed to Jesus to spend more time with him? Because God is the only one that'll say, "Come anytime you want. Talk about anything you want. And stay as long as you want." Everybody else is too busy. Everybody else, we don't discuss that. Everybody else, I've got someone else to see, not God. Oh, man. And then he got to proclaim the goodness of God. Look at verse 19. "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things." I like that. He didn't say, "Go home and tell them what I've done." He said, "Go tell them everything."
He said, you know there's some great things. I can see him saying, just tell me, well, what's happened to you? Well, I'll tell you, I feel different. Yeah, go tell him about that. What else has happened to you? Well, I'll tell you, I'm thinking different. That's right. And he said, tell him what great things. Okay, we could be here all night if we just started testifying. You know, we've got so much to be thankful for. Oh, man, we live in a great country. Sure, it's got its problems, but it's the only one everybody wants to come to. It's still the best one on the planet, and I'm glad I'm here. Amen. I'm glad for what God's done. But then he told him, you go tell. Look at verse 20. And he departed and began to publish. That man went to Jesus and said, would you mind if I, could I go with you? He said, I'll tell you what, the best thing you can do, because they just asked Jesus to leave. That makes no sense. Can you imagine tonight after the service, all of a sudden people in the town, revival. And that's what we ought to be praying for.
Right. Yeah.
Revival start breaking out. People getting saved in stores and people getting saved in restaurants. And people get. And can you imagine, well, what's going on? Can you imagine the entire town like Nineveh getting saved, getting right with God? And we can't even fill them in the churches. Man, well, we got to get the PA outside. And we're trying to teach now. We're trying to disciple. Can you imagine all that happening? And then when that's done, y'all looking at the pastor saying, Pastor, that makes us nervous. Could you go ahead and resign? And could you go ahead and leave? Because we're not sure what's happening. That makes no sense. But I'm glad to have a Savior that knows what He's doing. Because I don't always know what I'm doing. I'm driving to Pigeon Forge after night. I don't always know what I'm doing. So when he says, could you come with me? I would have said, get on the boat. These people don't want you. They don't want me. Y'all figure it out. Work out your own salvation. Get on the boat. Let's go. Not Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come. He said, I tell you what, the best thing you can do is go tell them everything that happened to you. He turns around, he didn't get to go to Bible college, he didn't go to seminary, he didn't have a personal evangelism course, there was no Zoom class then. He turns around, takes a deep breath and says, let's go. In the Gospel of Luke, you find the same story. And the Bible says when Jesus was coming back, everyone was lined up. And I got a feeling who was out front. He doesn't recognize me because I got clothes on this time, but hey, it's me. It's me. I'm no longer rude. I'm not nude. I'm still a dude. And it's me. You got to preach those things nowadays. Amen. It's me. Everybody heard. I wonder if everyone tonight went and found somebody. Didn't Jesus make a difference in you? And what a difference a day will make. Our Heavenly Father, I love you. God, I want to say thank you for your kindness. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I'm so glad. This is unbelievable tonight to see such a great crowd in the middle of a week when no doubt they could have very easily said, I've got things to do. I'm tired. I've worked hard and it's been a long day. But Lord, they know that the church is meeting. They know they're not supposed to forsake the assembling, and they came together and around the singing and the preaching. And now, Lord, would you help us as we get ready to hear the final message tonight? May we leave this place ready to go find that one that maybe nobody else wants, but I know you want them. God, you've already done a great work in this place over these last 10 years. God, I cannot wait to see what you're going to do in the next 10. But it'll be because of the faithfulness of your people. Father, I love you. In your precious holy name, I pray. Amen.